Good morning and welcome to the meeting of the Compliance Audit Risk Management and Legal Affairs Committee, fondly referred to as the CARL Committee. I will now call the CARL Committee to order and ask the Vice President, General Counsel Jerry Blakemore to take the role.
Sheet from me, so Linda's going to do the sheet.
So Linda is going to conduct the roll call for us.
Yes.
Chair Wheeler Coleman. Here. Trustee Anthony Iasco.
Here.
Trustee Robert Marshall.
Here.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir. Trustee Mark Strauss.
Here.
Student trustee Paul Julian.
Here.
Board chair John Butler. And committee chair, Robert Boy.
Stuck in
traffic. Who is stuck in traffic? Mr. Blakemore, do we have a quorum?
We have a quorum, and I could verify that this meeting has been called pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act as well.
May I have a motion to approve the proposed agenda?
So moved. Second.
Any discussions? No discussions? All those in favors?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion approved. The CARL Committee meeting minutes. May I have a motion to approve the minutes on February 26, 2015?
So moved. Second.
Any discussions? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion approved. We've got some folks that are on the phone. And if you're on the phone, I request that you put yourself on mute. We can hear some background noise. At this point in time, public comments. Mr. Blakemore, any requests?
I have not received any requests from either persons physically present, and I've not been given any notice from Brad Hoy or others who are participating in from DeKalb in the Board of Trustees room of any persons who've requested for public comment either.
Okay, it sounds like we've got some feedback. It sounds like there's a 30-second delay also.
They're having a delay. This would be the time. Brad should be there.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to lower the volume here.
Okay.
And when they need to, they still should be able to hear us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can hear us.
And then when they need to talk, we'll raise the speed. All right. So it'd take a technical guy to figure that one out. So good morning, everybody. Since there's no public comments, let me take a moment to offer my remarks as the CARL Committee Vice Chair that's sitting in for our chair. It's nothing like having a closer start off a game. Let me begin by thanking each and every one of you for attending this meeting. I will now like to recognize various leaders of the university constituents group. Dr. Bill Pitney, Executive Secretary, University Council. Ms. Deborah Helser, President, SPS Council.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Everyone has trouble with that name.
Yeah. We are especially pleased that you're with us today.
Thank you.
Are there any remarks that you'd like to make and share with us?
Yes, thank you. On behalf of the University Advisory Committee, I have the following comment. As you consider risk management today, we would like to raise a concern pertaining to the perceived attrition of high-quality faculty here at NIU that may negatively impact the institution's reputation. Although this comment is based largely on anecdotal information, there's a clear and present perception that good people are choosing to leave NIU. our interactions with faculty and staff throughout the university lead us to believe that there is currently a confluence of issues that are prompting highly productive mid-career faculty and staff to depart NIU. These issues include the current financial challenges caused by declining enrollment and reduced state allocations, lack of pay raises over several years, state pension issues, and the state's continued divestment in higher education. These issues, we believe, make it extremely difficult to retain quality faculty and staff. Ultimately, this leaves less personnel to mentor students and engage them in other high-impact learning practices. This can ultimately erode NIU's excellent reputation in teaching and research.
Are there any comments from the board on comments just made? I'd like to say, first of all, I welcome your comments. And this is the kind of, that's the kind of comments that I think our governor and our senators and our state representatives should hear. And I don't know what we can do about making sure that they get a copy of either the minutes of this committee or the comments that were made. Clearly, we've got an issue that is bigger than just NIU, and it impacts more institutions than just Northern. And so we appreciate your comments, and my hope is that we can get those messages to our elected officials.
We have indeed also, Dr. Pitney, Mr. Montero, and I have written to the governor and legislators with expressing our concerns about the situation, and we shared that with our president, who has brought them forward to other presidents. And so there's a great deal of discussion, and we as campus leaders have an obligation to really express the needs of our students as well as faculty and staff.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
We're moving on to chair remarks. At this point in time, I'd like to recognize our new student trustee-elect that takes the office in July. Raquel Chavez, welcome and congratulations. As you can see, we are a bunch of friendly guys up here, and so we'll enjoy working with you and looking forward to your service and your tenure. Thank you, and we'll see you in July. Thank you. We have a presentation that is scheduled for today. The agenda for the call committee involves one important area, which is our enterprise risk management system, which would be led by our Vice President of Administrative and Financial Finance, Dr. Alan Phillips, with color commentary by Mr. Dr. Jerry Blakemore.
No doctor. Not in this group.
Although the committee was briefed on the procedural aspects of our enterprise risk management for proposal, today's presentation will highlight the substantial financial and legal aspects of risk management challenges and responsibility. I urge the committee to pay particular attention to the aspects as they directly impact decisions related to our oversight responsibility and the various roles that the board and the university leadership plays in this important area. Dr. Phillip, let's proceed. Thank you.
Good morning. Can you all hear me all right? As you know, risk management is a subject very critical to the well-being of the university.
Yeah, we need to make sure that mic is on.
Can you hear me?
Is it? Yeah, so we've got...
There we go.
Yeah, we've got some folks remotely right. As well, so we need to
okay.
Make sure... All right, thank you.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Dr. Phillip.
All right.
Very good.
Risk management is an area of concern for a number of reasons to the university, the protection of assets, typically, when you think risk management, you tend to think of insurance. And of course, it's something that we pay particular attention to. However, risk management covers a wide variety of other areas and issues. And so what I'm going to talk about is enterprise risk management, which encompasses the or takes a holistic view of the management of risks across all the operations at a university or an institution. So first of all, enterprise risk management is a structured, consistent, and continuous process across the whole organization for identifying, assessing, deciding, and responding to opportunities, threats that affect the achievement of its objectives. Enterprise risk management brings value by proactively identifying, assessing, and prioritizing risks, developing mitigation strategies, aligning strategic objectives and administrative processes, and embedding key components into the organizational culture. Basically, it impacts everything you do, and if it's done well, it's incorporated into all aspects of the day-to-day operations of the university. So, how does this differ from traditional risk management? Well, first of all, it's an enterprise-wide approach. You're looking at every aspect of everything that takes place at the institution, all processes, activities, stakeholders, products, and services. You're not only looking at the downside or potential losses or damages, but you're also looking for opportunities for efficiencies to mitigate potential problems or issues. You also take a look at risk, not in the terms of, say, a building catching fire, replacing a building, but in terms of the context of the operational and strategic objectives of the university. It enhances planning and budgeting processes, and it engages all the risk owners in the discussion. Benefits can help to sustain competitive advantage, transform processes, implement new technologies, solidify its integrity and reputation. It allows you to respond in a better way when there's an event or a problem that occurs. This one I like a lot, avoid financial surprises. Mitigate future liabilities, address rapidly changing regulations, something I think that we're all very familiar here with here in Illinois, and effectively manage all the resources. So why is it important to college universities? Well, first of all, the Board of Trustees seeks enhanced visibility into the risk of the institution. Your creditors and auditors, who we get to spend a lot of quality time with, are interested in greater accountability for risk management. Analysts take a look at the ratings criteria for debt issues, and as you know, here in Illinois, we have some challenges with long-term debt and borrowing, so they take a look at the risk involved there. And donors want to be sure that the funds that they donated are managed efficiently and effectively, and we are good stewards of those resources. So, issues that prompt discussion of risks, and I would say I've been involved in discussions on almost every one of these issues involved risk. Audit findings, continuity planning, construction projects, crisis response drills. Recently we had a tornado response exercise with the city of DeKalb. And then we have another one, I think, scheduled in July. Cybersecurity. All you have to do is pick up the paper every day. Those of you who pay taxes might be interested to know that the Russians broke into the IRS and over the last day or so and stole quite a bit of information. Enrollment declines, financial underperformance, some of the other things, obviously, reputation, research, healthcare, staff reductions, budget cuts, and tuition increases. This chart's a little hard to read, but what it touches on are the many aspects of enterprise risk management, and these are just some of the areas where enterprise risk management is an issue or a concern. And to get back to Deb's comment earlier, you can see under faculty, one of the risks is attract and retain faculty, tenure policies, curricula, program design, research development. You have alumni, you have external stakeholders,
And then you can look at it in terms of human capital, finance, integrity, process, strategy, IT, environmental health and safety, and external issues. So there are a wide variety of issues associated with enterprise risk management. This is not all-inclusive, but you get a pretty good idea of how holistic the issue is. Another way to look at this is in terms of the types of risks. So you have financial risks. The outside ring are the externally driven risks. The center is internal. You have financial risks, strategic risks, operational risks, and hazard risks all are a part of enterprise risk management. So how does this work? You first have to identify and assess your risks. Then you have to do the planning and management of those risks. Then you measure, monitor, and report, and then you start all over again. Underneath that, you have to consider the culture. How much risk are you willing to take on? What's your risk tolerance? Or is this aligned with your incentive plans and ongoing education? Do you have the means and methods to manage the process through your technology and systems? Do you have consistent communications about the process across the organization? Do you have policies and procedures in place that are well established and understood? And under governance and compliance, are you leveraging and integrating the process in terms of operational compliance, financial compliance, and regulatory compliance? The steps themselves, first of all, you have to look in terms of the institutional culture and for the context of how you're going to manage risk. You identify the risks, you assess the risks, you evaluate them and prioritize the importance of those risks. You determine how you're going to deal with the risks, treat the risks. You're going to monitor, review, and correct, and take corrective action, and then you're going to communicate all of that to the organization, the institution, and then you're going to start over again. Risk identification, what can go wrong? What events are going to have an impact on people, mission, physical assets? A risk can be a missed opportunity, also for improving effectiveness and efficiency. And you're going to look at the context of existing external controls. If there were no specific controls, what's the real impact of the specific risks? If it's in the green area, it's not so much of a concern. If it gets over to the red area, that's something that you're going to pay attention to very much. Requirements identification, what's in place to prevent the risk? What are all the controls would exist without the subsystem-specific controls? What else is needed to control the risk? And if there's extreme risks, what are the gaps between the existing risks and the external controls? As you can see, minor risk, you may just accept that risk. Moderate, you may have controls that are adequate. If it's a significant risk, you may need to take a more in-depth look at that. And if it's an extreme risk, you're going to make sure that you have sufficient controls in place to address that. In terms of documentation, you're going to document the analysis of the risks, the controls, to address any serious gap. You're going to lay out the potential options, and you're going to evaluate the costs of various mitigation techniques and compare the cost-benefit of various types of actions that you might take. So what are the goals and objectives? Well, you want to create a culture of risk awareness where all the employees understand, consider risk. You're going to reduce operational surprises and losses. As I had a very wise boss of mine say once upon a time, bad news does not improve with age. So you want to ensure that there are no surprises. Increase your capacity to identify and take advantage of opportunities. Enhance decision-making, providing senior management and trustees with information that improves the understanding of the risks and the opportunities, and improve your risk management efforts. Some of the best practices, obtain a commitment, full engagement. You have to set the tone at the top. Tailored program to meet the institution's unique needs. All institutions and organizations are different. Articulate the approach to the risk, and establish a common institutional language for how you're going to talk about the risk. Use cross-functional groups to get buy-in, awareness, and engagement. Integrate enterprise risk management into your existing processes. As I said, the goal is to try to institutionalize risk management into everything that you do. If you can do that, you build a risk-aware culture. You integrate and retain the knowledge of the specialist silos while taking an enterprise view, and you also enhance internal controls around the areas of the great risk. At NIU, we are looking at having someone in and coming into NIU and performing an assessment of our risk management capabilities. We want them to conduct an overview of where we are, recommend a sustainable methodology and tools to enhance and supplement our current risk assessment efforts, explain options for how we can better develop governance, oversight, and operational structures, assist us in learning and utilizing a high-risk discovery methodology, and assist the president and senior leadership in determining risks that require monitoring, risk tolerance, opportunities for transferring risk, the allocation of risk ownership and accountability, the need for specific policies and processes to manage risks and disasters, plans to mitigate risk, development of an annual schedule for reviewing, monitoring, and reassessing risks, and a protocol to report these activities to the Board of Trustees. Along with that, we'll be identifying staffing and other resource requirements, and the information, tools, and skills needed to successfully perform these activities, and along with that, identify all known and other potentially serious risk exposures. Evaluate mitigation strategies, develop policies and procedures, identify blind spots, and integrate that into a comprehensive university-wide risk assessment. So that's a brief overview of enterprise risk management, how it impacts our institution, and our plans for how we would like to move forward.
From the floor, are there any questions for Dr. Phillips and Jerry? Yes.
My understanding is that we already had an RFP out for services
we
related
do.
To this.
There were six proposals. We have already reviewed them. We have not yet made a selection. One of our concerns is our budget requirements. Before we proceed, we would like to have a better idea of what our budget appropriation looks for next year, but we have them and are ready to execute when we feel that we can do so.
I'd like to see a summary of the proposals, and I'd also like to hear your comment on whether there are some low-hanging pieces of fruit in this that we can do on our own while we're awaiting what's obviously going to be a long-term consulting arrangement. I've been an advocate for engaging in enterprise risk management activity for years at this point, and so I'm heartened to see that we have a presentation that'll make it clear to my colleagues on the board exactly what's involved in being able to get us across the finish line. But I'm more interested in seeing that we're able to start to get a handle on some of the items that we can currently identify, and we also have the opportunity, I think, to begin discussions about establishing an appropriate culture even before we have the completion of the RFP process.
I tend to be very risk averse. We have a lot of challenges as I've gotten more into the job. I've started to identify some of the areas initially. In addition to the normal issues associated with insurance and management of those risks. As Deb said, some of the other risks we are very concerned about is the fiscal risk, the budget, the impact on the staff and faculty, the students, and so we are already starting to look at some of those kinds of things and how we can mitigate that across the institution.
I think that the early steps could also include being able to put together a listing of all of the regulatory requirements and to assign ownership to those and some sort of a reporting structure. There has to be a way for us to begin the process of being able to determine the full scope of the items and start putting ourselves in a position where we can have reporting in whatever format turns out to be the most desirable to the board. At present, I think we're without a good tool to be able to assure us that we have people who are on top of these. And I know we've done, because we've had reports before this committee as to the identification of regulatory requirements in certain aspects of the institution, but I'm not sure that that process has been completed. That's obviously going to be one of the early steps that'll be engaged in by anybody who takes a consulting assignment. And after you take a look at all the requests for proposal, you may even determine that there are portions of that scope that you bid that we could do internally. So I hope we'll be mindful of that as well when we're taking a look at the costs.
Are there any other questions? Dr. Phillips, I want to say, first of all, appreciate the work that you're doing here. I do have a couple of questions in terms of the anticipated cost of bringing in an organization to assist us. What are you seeing in terms of potential costs?
I don't have it with me, but I think the costs range from several hundred thousand dollars down to less than $100,000. I think it was clearly some of the proposals were better than others. What we will probably end up with is something in the middle range that accomplishes essentially all the things that we want to do at the least cost. So we have gone through, we have actually done an evaluation of all of the different proposals and have evaluated them my guess is it will be somewhere between the $100,000 and $200,000 range.
Yeah. So I know we are in a tight fiscal year and I know things are pretty tight. I can't think of a higher priority. Quite frankly, and this group we have seen our share of surprises and had our share of blind spots. And as an institution we are we find ourselves spending a lot of money fighting off those blind spots or addressing those blind spots. I'm not quite sure that I would encourage us to wait to our appropriation. I think we need to find the money. And I think we need to find a way to say, let's get some help in here, let's identify some of our key risks, and then let's also implement a plan to mitigate those or to prevent them from surprising us, all of us. We probably spent over the last 2 years way more than this RFP is going to cost based on risks that we didn't know that was out there that we probably should have addressed. So my recommendation is that we find a way to move as soon as possible versus waiting.
We will do that.
I'm sorry, the colored commentary.
These are the documents.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Phillips. I think we need to go back this other way.
They go that way.
They all go that way. All right. Dr. Blakemore or Jerry Blakemore? I just want to make you a doctor honorary.
I have a brother who has an earned PhD, so that's the Blakemore that people refer to when they say Dr. Blakemore, not me. I just want to follow up on a couple of the questions asked. My responsibility was to basically talk about risks from the legal perspective and from the board's perspective, and I want to pick up on Trustee Strauss's sort of questions. As part of this won't take very long. I have provided you a PowerPoint that was used, I believe, earlier this year in March, where both public and private university general counsels and deputy general counsels were invited to a morning seminar hosted by United Educators, which does a significant amount of insurance for higher education institutions. One law firm in particular that we have utilized, and they're experts in higher education, as well as
one of the insurance brokers. So I've shared with the committee selected PowerPoints from that. The chair of the committee has the entire 61 pages that Greg and I went through. But there are a couple points that I will make as a follow-up to what Dr. Phillips said. One, there are 257 federal laws which institutions of higher education are required to comply with. There are approximately 86 state, Illinois state laws that institutions of higher education are required to comply with. And the, I'm just going to do the 2 through 5 in terms of the PowerPoint, and we will make this document available to the public as well. The title of this seminar was Critical Risks Facing Higher Education. And so you have the backdrop of here are the laws, 257 and 86 as an example, that we're required to comply with. But then the next area are the potential institutional risk. One of the points that Dr. Phillips made was that risk is everyone's responsibility because it is everywhere. And it's in all facets of our operations and goes fundamentally to everything that we do. I'm not going to go through all of the 25 areas that are listed here, but as examples, natural disasters, safety and security, environmental, study abroad, faculty, staff, student conduct, minors on campus, student aid, immigration, accommodation of disabilities, Fair Labor Standards Act. There are 25 areas that were listed here. The next slide, which is the UE slide, United Educators, gives us the amount of loss that that particular insurer was responsible for 2015. Discrimination, actual financial awards in the discrimination area, and these are awards from higher education institutions because of lawsuits. 90,000 to 2 million was the range. Sexual molestation, assault, 700,000, 1.28 million. Child abuse, 900,000 to 8 million. Negligence, 700,000 to 4.5 million. And it goes on and on and on. So it makes the point that the vice chair made earlier, there are significant financial risks associated with this. As an aside, both the NFL and the NCAA have changed their protocols regarding concussions because dramatic brain injuries over that period of time that UE covered was to the tune of $75 million. You know, so it tells us what the potential impact could be. One of the most critical issues, getting back to Trustee Strauss's point, was what's the role of the board, particularly what's the role of this committee. This issue was purposely brought to this committee because it is within this jurisdiction that a number of these issues really come. And here is what the experts, these are external experts, these are not, you know, my office or university officials saying, but the experts are basically saying that the board's responsibility through, and I'm on page 4 of the document that I passed out, board through presidential leadership must adhere to several basic tenets that define fiduciary: duty of care, duty of obedience, duty of loyalty, duty to act in good faith, and the duty to serve the public interest. They become the framework by which this board, particularly this committee, sort of makes decision and receives information from university officials. This outline also provides I believe, a good summary of the different role between the board as the policymaker and persons responsible for oversight and the administration responsible for management. Board, vision, planning, holding management accountable for their decisions, administration responsible for the day-to-day affairs of the institution, and implementing the board's vision of plan. The board should determine whether management is appropriately exercising judgment, but leave matters of judgment on most issues to management. That's a very quick summary. We could spend days, if not weeks, just sort of going through all of the compliance requirements, et cetera. Obviously, we're not going to even attempt to do something like that now. But we wanted to provide a framework for, upon which this committee in particular can begin to look at compliance, audit, risk management, and sort of legal affairs. And we believe that this is a good start. Closing, page five. And I'm just going to go to the last two slides there. Balancing board's role of oversight with role of management, boards can participate effectively in policy making process by, one, asking the right questions, which are almost never purely financial in nature, pretty clear. Making sure that each realistic course of action has been identified and that a good faith effort has been made at weighing the cost and the benefit. This is not a, it's an art, not a science. There are going to be issues of judgment, et cetera. And then I think probably the most important thing is governing board should monitor institutional risk management through regular formal reports by the administrators assigned the responsibilities. This committee is designed specifically to do it that way. This committee was designed in large part on recommendations from the Penn State issues, which is why you have the group of functions, you know, that are here. And that management should provide the board with information about misconduct and significant deviation from policy, and the board should evaluate and test management's responses. So that gives you sort of the summary of at least what the external experts are saying, many of whom, you know, do business with us, but more importantly, they provide a national perspective of what not only the challenges are, but from the board's perspective, what the board can do and should be doing to position the university to meet those challenges. With that, I'll end. So that's my color comment.
Trustee Strauss.
One of the final points that you made, Mr. Blakemore, was formal reports by the administrator assigned responsibility. And my experience, organizations this size generally are able to support a chief compliance officer. It's a suggestion that I've made on a number of occasions in the past. I'm wondering whether in the education that you and your colleagues have attended, there's been a recommendation as to what the structure should look like for the reporting relationship and the responsibilities to the board.
There are various structures and options that different institutions use, and they really should be tailored to the particular institution, the size of the institution, the mission of the institution. Part of what, as I understand, we will get from the ERM proposal is some suggestions in that regard. I also know that the president and the provost have started looking at this issue as well. And so we will have the benefit of an external expert on that very question. We have already begun internally a process of looking at the whole issue of compliance, et cetera. And as you know, there have been recommendations discussed, you know, in that regard. So I think we'll be able to wrap up that as part of the RFP or the ERM review process. So we'll talk about structure, particularly as it relates to compliance. I have a special interest in compliance for kind of obvious reasons. I never walk into a basketball game or to an artistic or an academic event without sort of my compliance lawyer's eyes on them. People think that's boring, I don't, but. So we will be able to give you a specific answer to that, but we're going to look at what those options are and what's going to best serve Northern Illinois University.
Yeah, obviously we need to have something that fits within whatever structures we have. But my life experience teaches me that if you have several people responsible for something, nobody's responsible for it. So if it winds up that there's more than one person responsible for compliance, there are various pieces, I'd like to make sure that we have some clear assignment as to who it is that's responsible for reporting to us on which portions of the enterprise risk management endeavor.
Are there any other questions? So Jerry, I want to say you stopped reading at a point where there's a couple of comments that are here in the document that I like to read that further speaks to the board role of oversight. And the first comment here is that every board must have a thorough understanding of the risks at its academic institution and an up-to-date knowledge of how well the administration is working to mitigate those risks. Boards are most effective if they operate with a clear set of priorities and concentrate on strategic oversight. Risk management should be on every board's to-do list for oversight. And, you know, so those are a further continuation of the role of the board, and I think we all need to take that into consideration. We need some help, right? We're going to need report outs, and we need to make sure that this is a priority. With that stated, while Dr. Phillips was giving us his presentation, our chair walked into the door. I just wanted to for the record, acknowledge. Good afternoon, Trustee Boyd, and Trustee Cheryl Lynn also is here. So I just want to get that in the record. Welcome. And Dr. Phillips and Jerry, thank you both for sharing with us some valuable information. It is clearly a priority, and we need to make sure that we get on top of this and keep the risks as a priority in front of not only this committee, but the full board. Thank you. Let's see. At this point in time, we have no other topics for this committee. Let me pause for a second. Chair Boyd, is there anything that you'd like to add or anything you'd like to say before we close out our meeting?
Let me just get one clarification here. Did we have our cow risk committee meeting just now?
Yes.
Good. Sharon, don't feel bad. I beat you by 2 minutes. We both had the same problem. But no, thank you for being so such an effective replacement for me. So thank you. I'll leave it at that.
So the shoes are big, and it was difficult to fill, I tell you. So. All right. Our next scheduled meeting for the Carl Committee is scheduled for August 27th, 2015. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.